You know, sometimes I wonder what would have happened to my life if I would have stayed with my father, if my father would have stayed with us, and where my life would be today. My father's choice of a diet for everyday life was something that he tried to push on me and all of us as we were kids growing up. I remember vividly one day in the living room, a couple cans of beer on the coffee table and straws in them, and he said, "Drink up, guys. Join me as I drink. And try it." He said, "You'll like it." And I remember taking one swallow and literally choking. And I said, "No thanks." And I walked away. And so did my other siblings that were, I think there was three of us. And we walked away from that. And then all the other things that my dad chose. And it was his regular diet for living. And by the way, the message I'd like to share this morning is what are you feeding from today? Or better yet, where are you feeding? Where are you feeding on today? But my dad fed on those things, and those choices took him down a path that was very destructive to his own life, and his purpose for life. There wasn't much purpose there. It was basically do whatever pleases your senses. And it caused him to leave us, divorce my mom. And I think, well, I don't even think, I know the reason why God took him from my life was because he knew that I would be influenced by my dad and go down that same path, choosing the diet that he chose, which was alcohol and women and music and all the things that he was into. And it just about destroyed my oldest sister, who was involved with his music. And they were on TV a few times. And it was just a very bad, immoral crowd that he hung with. But, you know, that was his choice. Those were his choices, and that was his daily diet. And then he left, and we were all left to fend for ourselves for a while. Was not a good life. You know, the trauma, and then the food that we had available wasn't much. Most of the time there wasn't any food. And so we'd find ourselves sneaking out in the streets and stealing things, just trying to stay alive. And our choices of a diet were horrible. You know, it was all the sweets. And like I shared a couple Sundays ago about the dentist, when I went there recently, said that my teeth were bad. And I shared my testimony with him. I said, you know, at a younger age, my main diet was candy. And he said, wow. He said, if it was candy, it's amazing that you were able to hang on as long as you did with your teeth. It was a terrible diet, but it affected my health. It affected my teeth. And that's the way spiritually today. The diet where we choose to feed from will affect us spiritually, mentally, and emotionally, and take us down paths that we would probably not want to go. But, you know, sometimes we don't see that as we make the choices. And sometimes God's got to shake us to get our attention. We're going down a wrong path. He had to do that to Peter. And we read all kinds of people in the Bible who made bad choices. As Paul said, Demas, he was one of us at one time, and now he's gone, and he's gone the way of the world. That was Paul's words about one of his faithful, loyal supporters, Demas, and he was gone. And then there were some others that he wrote about who made choices that their lives were shipwrecked because of it. And that was my dad. His life was shipwrecked. And at the moment, it looks good. At the moment, it feels good. But then down the road, it is devastating destruction. And I can't think of the two guys' names that he mentions in one of his epistles. But he said their lives are shipwrecked. And they're in destruction, or they've chosen destruction, the path that they've gone. What is your diet like today? John 6:27 talks about Jesus after he fed the 5,000 with five loaves and two fishes. And then, from that miracle that he did, Jesus went right into, I am the bread of life. Jesus repeatedly offers himself as a spiritual food that gives eternal life and eternal satisfaction. John 6:27, do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him the Father God has set a seal. John 6:32, Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. Then also John 6:33, and this is all from the bread chapter, I call it, in John 6. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. And then John 6:35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. Eating Jesus' flesh and drinking his blood, as you read in that passage, he says that a couple times, you eat my flesh, drink my blood. He is referring to personally, he's referring to believing and personally allowing his death on the cross as your only hope for eternal life. John 6:51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The requirement for eternal life is to behold the Lamb of God. As John the Baptist said, and I was reading that scripture this week, thinking about beholding the Lamb of God. Beholding the Lamb of God and believing in him, he came to take away the sin of the world. And hallelujah, he did that in my life. And for emphasis, I'd like to sing a song. And if I could have some help here, Chad, where are you? We'd like to sing together. We've done this for a number of years, and maybe some of you have heard us sing this. But just for emphasis of Jesus' words here, I love these words, and I love that the songwriter put them into music. And as we're thinking about that, I'd like to quote to you Philippians 4, verse 2. I'm sorry, verse 8. Brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Philippians 4:8, and that's a wonderful diet to choose. Yeah, we just like to, again, sing the words of Jesus. I had a good teacher to teach me how to use my pitch pipe. He would search for it all over, just like me. Joe Overholt, he was a very good instructor, but unfortunately I picked up some of his habits. Okay, here we go. I'm the bread of life. All who eat this bread will never die. I am God's love revealed. That's Jesus. I am broken that you might be healed.
Oh, I am the bread of life. All who eat this bread will never die. I am God's love revealed. I am broken that you might be healed. I am the bread of life. All who eat this bread will never die. I am God's love revealed. I am broken that you might be healed. No one comes to me will hunger again. No one who believes will ever thirst. Oh, that the Father gives will come to and I will give them rest. I am the bread of life. All who eat this bread will never die. I am God's love revealed. I am broken that you might be healed, that you might be healed.
And when we choose the bread of life, there's wonderful things that happen to our lives. We experience forgiveness. We experience eternal life. We experience healing, as it says, that you might be healed. You know, I heard this week one Christian asking another Christian a question. And I was thinking to myself as I heard the question, he's basically doing iron sharpening iron. He said, if I would ask you, who are you, what would you answer? And the person that he asked said, well, I'm a basketball coach. If I would ask you that question, what would your answer be? Who are you? Well, I'm a water technician. And some might. I'm a nurse. What would you put down if someone would just catch you off guard with that question? I'm Dr. Blackwood. Or I'm a preacher. Or was a fisherman. And you know, Peter chose Christ rather than fishing. He left it all. And we'll read that found in Matthew 21. I'm sorry, Mark chapter 1. But so if I give you a piece of paper and you all write something down, I would love to read your answer. Well, this guy that asked this other Christian the question, he kept saying, "Is that who you are?" Well, he said, I'm a Christian. And then he asked him, well, what does being a Christian mean? He said, I'm a follower of Christ. He said, well, that's a good answer. But he said, that was not your first answer. It was not your priority on the list. What would your priority be? And he made an interesting Well, this guy that said, well, I'm a Christian, then he said, but are you telling me I'm a bad Christian? He said, all I'm asking you is where's your identity? And he went on to say, your identity is what you give your heart to. So where have you given your heart to this morning? Is it really the bread of life? It was interesting in the conversation that he said that was not your first choice. And he said, let me ask you something. You said you'd pray for me. Did you pray for me? And we often say that. And this basketball coach just hung his head. Said, no, I didn't. So he said, doesn't that tell you where your heart is? Boy, that really spoke to me and it convicted me. Often I'll tell somebody, I'll pray for you. And then life gets busy. And it doesn't get done sometimes. So your identity is what you give your heart to. You know, in Mark chapter 1, verse 21, actually, back up a little bit. Verse 16. Now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway, and listen to what happened, and straightway they forsook their nets and their identity as fishermen, and they went to follow Jesus. And they forsook all. And then it's interesting as you read through Jesus' ministry, and as he took these 12 under his wings and was coaching them and encouraging them and teaching them the ways of the gospel, the ways of salvation. And it appeared that they were committing everything to following Christ. But there was something that happened. Their walk with Jesus got interrupted. And all of a sudden, he was taken from them, crucified, and some of them didn't remember that he said, I'm going to rise again. Some of them did, some of them didn't. But If you go to some of the Gospels and you look at some of their commitment that they gave, that they were all out for Christ, and then when he was taken away, they became discouraged. But let me read to you some of the responses that Peter gave. And we all love the story of Peter because he wrote some powerful epistles as once again Jesus got a hold of him and took him out of the diet of discouragement, of impulsiveness, of depression, which happened to Peter because he bitterly wept after he denied Christ and he struggled. It's very obvious that he struggled, and then Jesus was nowhere to once again teach him. And so he began to lose faith. But before that all happened, Peter made a very interesting comment here in Matthew chapter 26. He says, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And then also, later on, Peter says this again in John 13, quite some powerful commitment that he made. And I'm just referencing this because it's often our very same pattern. And that we can, once again, lose our way and lose our identity in Christ. He goes on to say, it sounded so zealous, and it sounded so full of commitment. John 13:37, Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And then in Luke, John 21:2. Peter went back, according to the scriptures, him, Thomas, and some of the others. They went back to what they knew from their past well. And it says that they went back to being fishermen. And I'm sure they were thinking, well, what happened to Jesus? We haven't seen him for a while. He's gone. Let's just go back to what we know best, fishing. In verse 2 it says, there were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. Now I love what happens here. Because Jesus knew they were struggling, and Jesus appeared back on the scene, and he picked them up, and he does that often for us. When we are in the middle of depression, discouragement, he'll often come with something powerful and totally change our focus and bring us back from the depression and from the whatever the struggle is. Wait a minute. This is not what he called me to do. And Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, who is there? Jesus. Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. And you shall find. He came to make things right on the right side of the ship. He was going to make things right for them. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it from the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, the one that who was so close to Jesus before he was taken, always at Jesus' breast, and he knew every little thing about Jesus. The disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals and fish laid thereon and bread. Oh, that sounds like a good diet. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Now Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. Come. Let's forget about all of that. Let's just come. Let's fellowship together. Let's connect together. Come and dine. Because Jesus had a message that he wanted to give, first of all, to Peter, and that the rest of them would pick up on it too. He wanted to speak into their lives, and so often he longs to speak into our lives and longs to do something great and miraculous, and often he does, and totally brings us back to focus. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than all these fish? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. So here he is, bringing back to Simon Peter and the other disciples their purpose. Their purpose in life was not to be fishermen and to see how many fish they could catch. No, their purpose in life was to be fishers of men, not fishes to sell and eat. Fishers, and he's bringing them back, and he says, feed my lambs. And then he saith him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. And he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved. Why do you keep asking me this? But Jesus was driving home his message to them. And I'm not going to get into the different things he said to feed. All I'm wanting to get to that Jesus spoke very emphatically into their lives, and especially into Peter. And he longs to shake us this morning. Whatever we maybe have found ourselves feeding on, maybe it's a sugary donut of movies. Well, you can put anything you want on there, but let's keep going. And then he was so grieved, and he says, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. And that's what Jesus is, the message he is today. He wants to lead us into green pastures, as Psalm 23 says. He wants to lead us beside still waters. Pastures are his word, feeding us with good food, good diet, and then taking a long drink beside the still water, and then leading us into paths of righteousness, paths of purpose, paths of direction and vision for his name's sake. And then he says, surely goodness and mercy, it's going to follow you, and you will find yourself dwelling in the house of the Lord, not only here, but forever. What you feed on is what you become. We've often heard that. What you feed on is what you become. You know, what I fed on, if you look at the physical part of my life, it was devastating to my health. I struggled with my teeth, and I struggled with my blood pressure. And there were other health issues that came into play. So you become what you eat, but not only physically, spiritually, you will become what you are feeding on. And my dad did. I saw it with my own eyes. He fed on all the different things that looked pleasing to his flesh. One minute, Peter was a zealous disciple of Christ. The next moment, he became discouraged and fed from the feed trough of depression and discouragement. What are you feeding from today? If you stay in that feed trough, it's going to totally distract you from your purpose that God has called you to, and it's going to distract you from giving out the message of the gospel, and you'll find yourself being very ineffective, and you'll find yourself not even thinking about those things anymore. You soon forget your commitment. Peter forgot his identity in Christ and went back to his old identity, and that was fishing. You can learn a lot about a person's physical health by simply looking at their physical diet. Are they eating a lot of fast foods? Boy, I talked to one guy. He said, you know, my blood pressure just climbed way up, and I decided I'm going to quit eating fast foods because he said I couldn't get it down. You know, he quit fast foods. The next time I saw him, he said, it's normalized. I said, what'd you do? He said, I quit eating fast foods. And he said, and it came down. What are you feeding on? Is your diet full of foods, of good whole foods that build your body and your strength? In the same way in the spiritual walk, what are you feeding on? Mentally, emotionally, spiritually, it will affect you. We are made up of three components: body, soul, and spirit. And often we spend more time on the soulish things of life, on the natural things of life, and mentally and emotionally, it changes us. So you know in your heart this morning, if you take a look at your spiritual diet, you will know mentally where you're at, and you will know emotionally where your health is just by looking at what you've been feeding on. One man made a list. He said, hours on talk radio, cable news, soap operas, social media, and binge watching as the equivalent of mental junk food. It's not healthy for you and me. In fact, it is poison. It is wearing down your ability to live your life of purpose for Christ. Proverbs 15:14 says, a wise man is hungry for truth. Do you hunger for truth while the mocker feeds on trash? So, you know, if we feed on trash, it takes away our hunger for truth. It takes away our hunger to follow Jesus with purpose and commitment. And then again, I'd like to repeat the verse, Philippians 4:8. it gets very specific about the kinds of thoughts that are best for your mental and emotional and spiritual health. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Does that list of things describe what you and I think about most of the time? If we're honest, we would probably answer no. Our minds don't naturally go to these things because we are in this human flesh. So the more we eat Jesus, the more the hunger increases with us. And the more we begin to experience awesome things in our life and wonderful direction, and our minds clear, and we get a vision where God wants us to go. Without Jesus, we are human and sinful. One man says you have to train your mind. I'm not sure how I think about all that. He says you have to train your mind to think thoughts that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. And then another man asked, how do you do that? And the guy that he asked, he said, by doing it. Well, he said, what does that mean? You have to practice filling your mind with these things that only Jesus can give by reading and eating the bread of life, meditating on it and memorizing it. You have to hunger for it, and that comes, that increases as you begin to experience the intimacy, the relationship with Jesus, and you hunger to open up his word and see what he has for you that day. Feeding on junk food takes away our hunger for the bread of life. How you think determines how you live. What you put in your mind is going to affect every area of your life. So you need a steady diet today of truth from God's word. You know, I remember as a youngster, I read the biography of a young man who started out so puny. He was so skinny, so sickly all the time. Everybody looked at him like he's not going to amount to anything. But his dad felt so sorry for him that he built a gym in the basement. And he told his son, you need to work in that gym every day, and you need to eat good food and build your strength. You don't have to stay puny and be laughed at all your life. And so many of us, we find ourselves, I think there are some points in our life where we are puny. And when we're faced with conflict and pressure, we don't have enough endurance and strength. But this young man, he took his dad's advice. He trained all the time in the basement, lifting weights, doing chin-ups, doing push-ups, doing all those good exercises. And, he began to fill out, and his body began to tone, and the muscles came, and he became a big, strong, burly man. And who would have ever thought it? But he changed his diet, and he changed his way of life, a life of discipline and diet. And he became the 26th president of the United States. Anyone know who I'm talking about? Yeah, a lot of people called him Teddy, because he said in spite of his big burliness, he was gentle. They called him... they called him Teddy, and they made teddy bears to And that's when teddy bears became very popular in the United States. It all started with Teddy Roosevelt. Speak softly, carry a big stick. That was the motto that people identified who he was. But I'm saying that for an illustration, simply this. He could have chosen to stay puny. And he could have chosen to stay weak and sickly. And many people do that today in their spiritual walk. They choose, make bad choices. And when the pressures of life come and conflicts, they often give up. Which, that was my father. But I'm proud, and I'm excited to say, though, that my father found Jesus on his deathbed. I praise the Lord for that. Just never forget running to his bed, saying, "Do you know Jesus?" And he nodded his head. We prayed, and we sang Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. But I often think, what could have God done with my dad, with his musical talent, and with all the things that he was gifted, if he had used those gifts and his musical talent for the glory of the kingdom, if he had been working in the kingdom rather than working for himself? God could have done wonderful things. Instead, that whole span of life was wasted, and all that was left was a little eighth of an inch, and he gave his heart to Christ. I praise God he did that, but just think how many years he lived that way and wasted his life when he could have been so effective in the kingdom of God. I'm not bitter at all at my dad today. I praise God for them. There were some good characteristics he left. You can always find some good. And I forgive him, and I love him this morning. But I'm just sad when I think of what God could have done with his life. And I'm just so grateful, and I'm rejoicing today that I am not in that same path, that God has shown me a path much greater and it gets brighter the older I get of the walk that he has taken me on. And I just prayed this morning, anyone here that's dieting on a sugary donut, candy bars, and all the things that sound so good, that we would choose the diet that Jesus longs to give us, not all the things that sound good at the moment, because they only last for a season. When you can enjoy pleasures forevermore with Jesus by choosing the right diet for your life. Just a couple questions I'm going to leave with you, and then I'm going to close. How would you describe your mental diet? Is it nourishing your life or wearing you down? In what ways does social media, and I hated to write this down, but it's so true. People are so wound up with social media. In what ways does social media turn into poison for your mind? Does it do its redeeming qualities outweigh its destructive qualities for your life? Yes, there are some redeeming qualities, but then there are so many destructive ones. Is it really worth it? A steady diet of the life-giving word keeps the bread of life, Jesus, in full view and brings life and strength and leads us into an intimate relationship with the bread of life, Jesus, which will find us hungering for him every day. going to pause a moment, and if there's anyone here that has anything you'd like to say before we close the service, just going to open it up for a minute. Right here.
First of all, thanks for the wonderful message. Our diets are very important. Also, I wanted to announce that the Ukrainian fundraiser flyers, handouts, are here under the mailboxes. So help yourself. Take what you think you need for yourself and handing out to family or friends. But then let's also keep in mind that the other churches probably want some too. We printed 300 to get started.
Thank you, Jonas. Over here, Chad. Okay, here we go.
Thank you, Jim, for reminding us about our diet. It's good for me to hear that. I want to say that I am sometimes thrilled with the thought that I'm forgiven, that I can be with Jesus sometime. Sometimes I'm most wishing that I could just go. Yeah, it is. Anyhow.
I'm with you, brother.
I enjoy God's word in the morning, but I often forget what I read. I go on my way. So keep on reminding us of who we are.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Eli. We have Aaron over here.
Just listening it made me think of a couple different things. And one of those was that you talk about junk food. And we all have our own junk food, and we often see someone else's junk food as we see what they're eating that's junk food. We don't see what we're eating that's junk food. It's easy for us to look around and
that's very true.
But not see our own. So it's you know, whatever that may be, there are a lot of, some are common to all of us. Some we each have our unique things that we eat as junk food. And so just that thought, and the other was that even if it's not junk food, I heard someone say one time, you know, I think the example he gave was, you're going home to eat dinner with your family and your wife made delicious food for you, but if you stop on the way and eat anything else, you're not going to be nearly so hungry for that food. You're not going to have nearly the appreciation for that food that you would have if you hadn't on the way. It was just a good reminder to me, too. It's so easy. You know, maybe the bulk of your life you're filling with good things, but there's all these cracks, you know, these gaps, these little 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there, where I don't have something else to do, I'm waiting for something to happen, and I often fill those with just nothing, you know, nothing good, nothing useful. And then that was making me think today of, well, is that ruining the other things for me, you know, filling those 2 minutes here, 3 minutes there with things like that. So,
thank you, Aaron. It's good stuff. Anyone else? Back in the corner.
I just want to thank you for the wisdom that we heard today. There's a Dutch saying that I used to hear when I was a child. I'm not going to try to say it in Dutch, but basically it was, we are too soon old and too late smart. And I just wish I had some of that wisdom when I was 20 that you spoke of today. I just would like to think back and wonder, you know, what might have been different. But there was two things that stood out to me, and you touched on both of them. One is the importance of feeding ourselves well spiritually, and the other one is avoiding the poison. You know, we can be very healthy, but one dose of poison can be disastrous. And I remember one person was saying, you can build a fish pond, and you can do everything to make the environment just right for those fish so that you can have a healthy population and years of good fishing. But if somewhere upstream, poison gets spilled and it gets in your pond, it doesn't matter how good you prepared your pond for fish, they're not going to make it. And we need to take that seriously in our own lives.
Amen. Thank you, Troy.
The thought came to me that it doesn't have to be a worrisome or daunting task, though, because if you're using, comparing to physical fitness and working out, like you referenced, the Holy Spirit can be our trainer.
Amen.
He can give us a good direction on what to do, where to go, and how work out the practical things. That was an encouragement to me.
Amen. Thank you, Chad. Okay. You're all done. Just a reminder, I'm not sure if I'll put up a list out there or a sign-up sheet for the camp out. Saturday night, we usually have families, some sharing a song, or a group sharing a song, or someone has a story they want to tell, or scriptures that they want to recite, or maybe you want to do a skit with somebody and have us all guess. It's a good night of fun and refreshment and encouragement, and I hope you're all preparing something. I know Frida's not here. She usually reads us a story. It's always good. Or she recites a poem. Any of that is so exciting to come together, encourage one another, and have fun together. And in doing that, I don't know if I'll put a sign-up sheet, different things that I would love to see happen on Saturday night in the camp out. I don't know the committee. Who are they? I forgot who they are. Hannah, yeah. So am I overstretching my bonds there, boundary? And usually I like to assign a memory verse, which I will share with you at the camp out, and people work on memorization. And there's usually a reward for anyone who can say it well, just as an encouragement to have a good diet, to feed on wonderful things, to feed on lovely things, to feed on life, that you have life to give to others. And it's always wonderful to have memorized, have that right in your heart. And it can just pop out when God presses your button on your heart. You know, it's time you share that, what you got in your heart, with this person. He needs it. And it's wonderful to have it right there, memorizing God's word in your heart. And it also has another benefit, that you might not sin against him, because it's always there speaking to you. All right. Thank you, everyone. Bless you as you go. I hope you have a wonderful week of good diet. And be encouraged to choose good food, lovely things. Let's stand for closing prayer. Father God, Jesus, the bread of life, thank you that you made that beautiful promise, all who eat this bread will never die. We can experience life today and life eternal. And you've called us to believe. Do we believe today, as the Gospel of John talks about it so much? All things are possible, only believe. And believing and walking by faith and adding all that wonderful things that Jesus offers as the bread of life to our faith and to our belief, powerful things can happen. Would you do that today and tomorrow and the week to come in our lives? Lord, if you have to wake us up with something miraculous, something powerful to shake us if we find ourselves stuck in a certain walk, shake us out of that and refocus us. And once again, your call flashes across our minds and our hearts, and our vision is renewed, Father, to be walking with purpose and with life to give to others. Bless our fellowship afterwards here too. Father, may we be encouraging to one another. As Galatians says it so well, love one another and don't bite and devour each other, but love and encourage each other to be faithful with Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen. You're dismissed.